And welcome back to Mouthing Off with Mike. As you can see, I'm joined with familiar face of the podcast, good brother Jordan. Jordan, tell the people what's up.
Familiar face, not a very familiar place. It's nice to have a real setup now. So, state of the union address, emergency, all hands on deck. Excited to be here.
All hands on deck here for it. I'm going to tell you right now, as we always start the podcast, this is the only wrestling podcast that is currently not getting rock blocked on the road to WrestleMania. Unfortunately, like our good friend, the American Nightmare, Cody Rhodes. Usually, I start the show with the Raw recap. We'll head into SmackDown. We'll do the AEW stuff. Everything's kind of in a chunk. This episode of the weekly recap of Mouthing Off with Mike, everything's thrown all out of whack here. A tornado came through, and I unfortunately was not able to slap it. And a tornado came through WWE Friday night on SmackDown. We were led to believe that Cody Rhodes, the winner of the Royal Rumble, two-time winner of the Royal Rumble, was going to go back on to back. And back-to-back, first to do it since Stone Cold Steve Austin back in the late 90s, gets added to an illustrious list of Hall of Famers, Hulk Hogan, Shawn Michaels, and Stone Cold as two-time or multiple-time Royal Rumble winners or consecutive winners. And we're all leading to the final face-off with Roman and Cody. Cody even saying that that's the title he wants, the one Roman holds. But he steps aside. And if you smell what The Rock is cooking, board of director of TKO now, seems The Rock and Roman Reigns is now the WrestleMania 40 main event. I have a lot of thoughts here, and Jordan, you can hop in at any time, but I am happy to see The Rock. I'm going live. As you guys know, I'll be at Mania in Philly. It's home turf. I got to go. So it's cool to see The Rock. Never got to see him. Now, from the perspective of Jordan, who actually did get to see The Rock in a capacity at WrestleMania, how do you feel about this?
I saw him as a part of what was maybe the worst WrestleMania ever. Special Enforcer, Miz Concussion, we all remember.
Yeah.
To say I'm disappointed is an understatement. I'm pissed. I mean, you build 2 years, Cody Rhodes, he comes back, wins, like we said, back-to-back Rumbles, first time in over 20 years. And you throw him to the side for The Rock. It seemed like a power play. I mean, obviously, we don't know what went down, but he comes in, board of directors, and then he politics his way. Now it's to the main event, and barring any changes, it doesn't seem like there should be any changes. So, to say the least, I was excited. I wanted to go to WrestleMania. I already said, I don't think I want to go. I don't think it's worth my time. It's the right match, but it was never about the world championship. It's about who's the head of the table, and they both, made that very clear. And it's a match that belongs on WrestleMania. I don't think it should be in Australia. Don't think it should be in Saudi Arabia. It should be at WrestleMania. It just should not be for the world title. So I think they did Cody really dirty, and I don't know what the end game is. So
I mean, dude, I'm more confused than anything else. And look, me and Jordan, funny enough, like our friendship surmounted in college and ended up becoming, out of a mutual love of professional wrestling and watching it. And we used to hang out a lot. And we watched a lot of the roughest of WWE during our time in college. So it's really tough because we're like, we had 10 months of really good content. And this is stuff that we really wanted all those years ago when we were watching, WrestleMania 32, and we both literally fell asleep during it. And it's like now we got to this point and we've come so far from that path where it's like Jordan and myself, we were like, wow, this is Triple H. Like this might be the answer. And then it seems everything gets thrown out of whack. Everything seemed so clear and cut. Royal Rumble, CM Punk gets hurt. Now you're losing out on a Seth Rollins CM Punk dream match. You're missing out on Cody and Roman. And this just comes, what logic? And I obviously, I know wrestling's not logic, but what logic does it make sense for the guy who won the match, who worked his ass off, who lasted all those other superstars, who earned it, wins the Rumble? What? How does that make any sense? So now they've built the World Heavyweight Championship as literally the consolation prize of WWE. They buried it on SmackDown.
As Roman Reigns said, it's it's the division of everybody I beat, basically, is, you know, is was the gist of his message. He he spent multiple minutes burying the title, burying Seth Rollins. And, you know, the path was as easy to see as possible when it was CM Punk Rollins. And then, yeah. You know, Rhodes Reigns. And, you know, but you could have pivoted in so many more directions. You know, I think we talked about this. I was so on board with, you know, Gunther winning the world title and then relinquishing the IC title the next day. You know,
yeah, if a not guy only, like it, Drew and Sammy now, their Mania card spots are now in question because, hypothetically, you could have done Drew, Sammy, Seth, Gunther in a multi-person match or worked up something crazy.
Well, now
there.
I think it affects Gunther's WrestleMania plans. Obviously, Lesnar not being there also plays a part. But, you know, now I think instead of a one-on-one match, I think you may see him, Braun, you know, if Sheamus comes back and somehow is on Raw, Drew McIntyre, Sami Zayn. So I think that just becomes a shit show in its own right. So like I said, it's a short-term Band-Aid in terms of what's going on with Vince McMahon and that whole thing. And they're just kind of trying to build some extra hype on Mania and kind of get that under the rug. But what it's going to, cause long-term in terms of a lot of different stories, maybe they're aware of the repercussions and just don't really mind it. And it's kind of kick the can down the road and deal with it when you have to. But, you know, it definitely didn't seem like it was a positive reaction from any people backstage.
No, I mean, I think what I saw a lot on social media, especially on Twitter last night, was a lot of, even superstars were shocked. You know, that was a big rumor coming out. You know, I have to give credit where credit is due. Fightful has been very good in reporting this and putting out, you know, different pieces, you know, on it and as to, like, the logic and, you know, what's going on backstage. You know, what were some of those murmurs? And it seems now, especially the Rock Roman thing, it's set in stone. But now it seems that The Rock's getting his own creative team in the form of former head writer for Raw back in, what, the 90s, early 2000s, Brian Gerwitz. Now it seems The Rock's calling in his own creative team. To me, that just spells like something is taking place. And obviously, I really can't speak on anything with this whole Vince thing. I've condemned him multiple times. I've said Vince McMahon should have been out of the wrestling business almost 10 years ago. He's been that out of touch. And to see all the things that came out about him, you know, was a surprise, but also kind of like, you look back, you know, look at some of the stuff that they produced in the day, it's disturbing. And now the story's coming out, and we know about Ashley, you know, and now we know about other women in the company who are coming out. So it's to the point where it's like, does it seem that now maybe The Rock is coming for creative of WWE, or is it more so he wants creative, he wants the full focus of creative, he wants whatever creative people he wants for this story going to WrestleMania with The Rock? You know, or with Roman, I should say.
No, obviously, you know, Triple H's involvement and knowledge of what's gone on plays into a huge part of it, just because, obviously, if he knows and they're forced to, remove the poison, quote-unquote, you'd have to imagine it becomes a Rock-led company. And like you said, Brian Gerwitz, who was, you know, on the WWE writing team for a long time, he would slot in as the top guy, and him and Nick Khan are very close. So, you know, it seemed like the writing could be on the wall in that sense, but maybe we let it play out and... me and my brother were talking about it. It kind of feels like Daniel Bryan in a sense, where if there's just that much fanfare rage, just in the sense of everybody's so against it, and especially the last time The Rock and Roman tried to get over in Philly, didn't really go well.
Back to that same place. That's the other thing.
So not only that, it's three times the amount of people. I think they were, I forgot the Prudential Center, I believe, is where it was the last time. So now you're going, you're going to the Link. A lot of fucking people fit into the link.
Philly, man. And you got a lot. And you also have to keep in fact, Philly, you know, really has a heartbeat of indie wrestling. You know, that's their history. You know, we've seen a lot of companies roll through Philly. A lot of people at that 2300.
They let you know how they feel. It's one of those crowds. New York's one of those crowds. Boston's one of those crowds. You'll know if they like something or if they want you to go take a hike.
100%. And that's the scary part about this is that. I don't know if we're in a sense of where the fans are capable to coordinate, you know, the yes movement, essentially, like they did in 2014 to, you know, for Cody Rhodes. You and I actually were texting about it the other, just today, where we were like, I don't think there's that many hardcore people that would be like, well, no, if it's not this match, then, you know, we're going to go up in arms. But it kind of, everything kind of has already been said. Like we were saying, you know, we're still continuing the conversation when it comes to, you know, Rock and Roman at WrestleMania. And essentially, you know, really the only thing that we can all do right now, and it would just basically be a self-fulfilling prophecy, would be if we all just took to Twitter and we tweeted our outrage, which Triple H kind of called us out on that over 10 years ago, you know, so it also is very funny and fitting. And this is kind of the last thing I'm going to say on it, because I'm going to let it play out. We'll see what this press conference holds Thursday. We'll see what Monday Night Raw holds. Obviously, everything's up in the air. The Elimination Chamber matches are up in the air. We know there's going to be a women's one. We don't know who the men's one is going to be for. But CM Punk told Cody Rhodes what was going to happen.
Look out.
What was going to happen. But he was referencing himself. But he told them, word for word, bar for bar, last Monday on Raw, someone's going to come in. You're going to hold this company for 2 years on your back. You're going to be the face of the place. You're going to get the newest cover of WWE. And congratulations, of course. And a part-timer is going to take your spot. Ladies and gentlemen, that's all that can be said about it. That is exactly what happened to AT.
The man lived the life. It's happened to him before.
And it's literally, it's happened to him. And he was going to do it to somebody this year. You know, obviously, if you want to cast that stuff.
Oh, but it's, you know, that's what people have said to me too, is, oh, CM Punk hasn't been here in this time. But while he was away from wrestling, his heart always belonged to wrestling, so you knew he'd be back. The Rock's heart has been long out of wrestling. It's in politics, and it's in wanting to be a mids actor. He wants to just get another set of people's eyeballs on him. He wants the story to be about him, his ultimate triumph. And it's like, dude, no one cares. He gets hurt every time he wrestles. It's like
rumors going around that he's pushing for himself to win the title.
Oh, yeah. I was talking about that with my brother earlier. It's like, if he walks out and he's the one, not only did this set a bad precedent that, yeah, you don't have to be a full-time guy to get a main event spot and then to end a four-year streak. I mean, you probably lose, if there's any free agents after Mania who are thinking about staying.
Yeah, they're out.
They may say just F you, yeah. So, yeah. I mean, yeah, like you said, you got to let it, you know, play out, see what happens, but this whole thing left a sour taste in my mouth, and I said, I know it's great short term. The stock prices will rise. Vince McMahon gets tossed to the wayside while people, you know, bitch about this instead. But
right.
I don't think it's a long term solution. That problem's not going away. So you're still going to have really to face what that it problem all was, head though?
On. Because honestly, we're spitballing. We don't have any. Look at me. I'm looking at you watching this, and I'm talking to you if you're listening to this on the audio. Look, we didn't have anything planned for this. We and straight up, I'm exposing the business, or I'm not keeping it kayfabe. But truthfully, this is just two dudes who love professional wrestling, doesn't matter what it is, you know, and we love a good story. And what better story did you have going right now than Cody in finishing the story? Obviously, the Bloodline story, too. And you have to say that match has to happen, Rock and Roman.
It was the belt his father wanted. He said it himself. Wanted the title. And then you step aside and let this part-timer, this guy who hasn't been here in forever. And like we said, he's either, if they try to go more than 15 minutes, there's an 80% chance he ends up hurt. The guy,
every match he came back for, he got hurt in. He literally said it the last time he wrestled. Did he not? That he got hurt, he tore his pec.
It's similar. Yeah, it was similar to Cena too. He came back, ended up needing surgery in both arms. It's when you're away for that long and you're training your body to do different things that's not wrestling. I feel like it's just wrestling shape. Like it's just different types of training and stuff. And so unless I'm missing something. And he's doing all this mass training that's going to have him ready for 30 minutes with Roman Reigns.
Yeah, there's no way.
Come WrestleMania.
We'd be lucky if we got 20 minutes at WrestleMania for that main event. Let's be real here. Let's realistically, if you were to look at some of the matches with The Rock, obviously I think the longest match he had in his return was against Cena at the Mania, and then the Cena Mania following. But that's it. Those are the two longest matches. He did the tag match. You know, it was a short match. You know, he did a couple Rock Bottoms here and there. We haven't seen him in 10 years. And if you've got a guy like Cena, and you bring up a valid point, you got a guy like Cena who's ready to hang it up already, and he's not even 50 just yet. He's a spitting distance away. And now you've got the guy who is in his mid-50s who hasn't wrestled in, what, a decade, maybe, if not more.
And yeah, and you have a handful of wrestlers who are, you know, you have your Finn Balor who's 40s, and you have Edge staying. You know, you got guys who could still go.
You have guys that can do it.
But the thing is, they've trained their bodies a different way, and they're still like the big thing is, you know, just until recently for Edge, I guess, but you know, that's another conversation out of Copeland. Sorry. their bodies were trained for wrestling. Again, he doesn't train for wrestling. He trains for aesthetic. He trains to look good for Instagram, and it's you know, his body. I don't know if his body's going to be conditioned to hold up. I don't know anything about anything. I'm not in the Rock shape.
I'm not. But like I said, I could never. The guy eats like 16,000 calories a day, and he lifts.
Yeah, I don't know if all of his French toast and his Termana tequila is going to save his ass, you know, from blowing out a quad or some sort of, you know, big muscle.
And that's not us wishing this happens. This is just the reality of the situation where it's like, look, we all know that he's not in, like, he got hurt the last time he did this. So it's like, and he's older. He's, you know, 8, 9 years older, 10 years older. So it's like, I don't see this playing out. Now, look, I could do this all freaking day, guys. And Jordan could do it. We could sit here and we could moan and complain and groan and say, you know, yada, yada, yada. We're not getting our way. But honestly, it is a blockbuster match. The Rock and Roman is a dream match. We obviously all want it. We obviously needed it. It had to happen. Ideally, you don't get in this situation if Cody wins the title last year at Mania. Different conversation for a different day, and I'm sure you agree to that sentiment as well. But then you don't have the record-breaking reign of Roman Reigns, and this essentially is the most predictable WrestleMania main event that you could ever make, because this almost guarantees, unless The Rock gets his pull, Roman retains the title, he beats Hogan's record. And then after that, it's all down the line, and you know someone's beating Roman because he broke Hogan. Because there's no way in this modern era of professional wrestling they're going to hold that title for 8 years like Bruno Sammartino.
It's never meant to be like that.
Abruzzo, Italy's reign, that record will never be broken because you can't. People are fickle about 2 years. People are now getting fickle about 4 years. Imagine 4 more years of this.
And, you know, last thing, and we can put it to rest, I don't blame people for getting excited like you should at face value. It's Roman Reigns versus The Rock, but it's just the wrong time for the wrong reason. And like I said, it's going to have long-term repercussions. So
it is
how they deal with it. You know, we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes. We did have another hour and a half of SmackDown that I'd love to chat about with you, Jordan, real quick. We started the show with Logan Paul and Kevin Owens having a heated promo battle, and then ended up delving into Kevin Owens having a match against Theory, which he won via brass knucks. I like the whole story with Logan Paul and KO, that it was just simple. It was just brass knuckles. That was the whole
thing. Yeah, and you got to appreciate Logan Paul even putting over Kevin Owens in the sense that he said he did more damage than Floyd Mayweather did.
Yeah,
so you know,
that's
he's
put over.
Yeah, so he's making Kevin Owens seem like, you know, obviously Kevin Owens is fantastic and he's great at what he does, but he's even selling it more that he's an absolute beast. So yeah, this has been a good rivalry for me. So I think this is a perfect rivalry to keep Logan Paul over, you know, as a solid U.S. champ heading into the Mania season. I do think it wraps up with Kevin Owens come Elimination Chamber.
Yeah.
Obviously, you know, one would imagine there's going to be some sort of shenanigans involved, but then I think that's where it wraps up.
I have two suspicions when we look at Elimination Chamber. I want to run these by you. First one, I suspect that possibly Grayson Waller and Logan Paul might be a title match that we might see at Elimination Chamber, since we're in Australia. Grayson Waller, the Aussie. I also have a suspicion that Nick Aldis has a twist involved for us. Now, we talked a lot about, well, what does this mean for Cody? If he won the Royal Rumble, he obviously gets a championship match, and if everything points to the direction, he's going to challenge Seth. So Seth has an opponent. We don't need a chamber match to figure out who Seth's opponent is. It's figured out. Could the U.S. title be defended in the chamber again this year? And Nick Aldis swerves Logan Paul and hits him with, your next challenger is not just one, it's five people.
Yeah, I mean, the way you put it, it makes a lot of sense, especially if you want to get Grayson Waller, a hometown guy, in a title match. Yeah, and it would logically make sense if you have both opponents figured out, then, you know, why put them in a chamber to begin with? So, yeah, I could definitely see that. I don't think Gunther's going to be put in a chamber. I think they're going to properly build, his match. Yeah, so you'd imagine that, you know, we'll have the one women's, and then I like the U.S. title one, especially if they have both world championship matches figured out. I do think
that's what I've been battling since last night SmackDown was, since Friday SmackDown was, like, essentially, what could the Elimination Chamber match be if the whole Cody thing is thrown out of the window? And I think the U.S. title makes a lot of sense. We also now know, ladies and gentlemen, newest Friday Night SmackDown superstars. Feel that glow, ladies and gentlemen. Naomi is now on the blue brand again. Welcome home to Naomi. We missed you. Well, we didn't miss you because we were watching you in TNA, but it's good to have you back in WWE with the women. And also, ladies and gentlemen, check your clocks because it's Tiffy time on SmackDown. Tiffany Stratton, WWE's resident Barbie, is now a part of the SmackDown roster. And she hit Mishin with the, what did the five fingers say to the face? Slap. Which in turn led to Tiffany Stratton having her in-ring debut against Mishin. Solid match, I thought, for her debut. Already getting the star treatment. I love this call-up.
Love. First, we'll get to Tiff Stratton. I just want to quickly shout out Naomi. It's fantastic having her back. We were at our first, you know, women's championship win, Elimination Chamber 2018?
17?
17? Was it that long ago? Holy smokes. Yeah, ended up winning her first. So, yeah, time flies. No, it's fantastic. It's fantastic having her back. She killed it in TNA. Had an absolute great run. I think it reinvigorated her, brought back confidence that she needed. So I think the sky's the limit for her. And obviously, Tiff Stratton, she's been arguably NXT's best product since the NIL, you know, began. So to see her finally, you know, get her due and get called up to SmackDown's awesome. Great, you know, real solid match with Mishin. Mishin's also fantastic. I very much enjoy her.
I do enjoy her.
Prettiest moonsault ever. Could be one of the best finishers WWE has. So it wasn't beautiful, you know, it wasn't the prettiest for the first one, but I think it'll get better and better as she, you know, keeps going on the main roster. So this, I'm excited to see. WWE's women's division is loaded on both brands right now. I think they were smart in putting those two on SmackDown. And I think it makes for a couple more viable challengers for the women's championship going forward.
It makes things very interesting for the women's championship. It also makes things a little bit confusing once again for WrestleMania because now you have the addition of Naomi. So Naomi better be getting a match on WrestleMania after everything she went through, leaving the company and then all the way, you know, coming back. So I'm anticipating seeing Naomi. They hinted at Tiffany and Bianca potentially. I saw that little stare off. I don't know if you caught that.
Sign me up for that.
I'd be down for that. And another tease, Bron Breakker was also on the show, and he's going to show up on Raw. So I think me and Jordan are on the same wavelengths. Gunther versus Bron Breakker is the match if you can't have Lesnar.
Yeah, I mean, I believe the last singles pinfall taken by Gunther was to Bron Breakker. So I think the story, you know, ties itself. And I think that those two would have one hell of a match on WrestleMania, and it's a chance to showcase, you know, Gunther being the veteran that he is, and then the future in Bron Breakker. I think that's money to me. So it was nice that they brought him over to SmackDown, though, make it feel like they've got a chance to maybe get him. But Adam Pearce will work his magic come Monday, and I would imagine we see one half of the Wolf Dogs running rampant on Monday Night Raw.
Oh God, I love the Wolf Dogs, man. I don't know if you caught the Vengeance Day predictions. Check it out on the channel. Check it out, but I absolutely love the chemistry Corbin and Breakker have, and I hope Corbin gets that call back up to the main roster in a couple too, because he's another guy I think get him back in the fold, and that's another guy you could have challenge Roman because he's the last one that pinned Roman too. So a lot of stories that, you know, that are there that we're not capitalizing on. One that I'm glad they capitalized on with Tyler Bate is the return of Pete Dunne over the last couple weeks. Tyler Bate and Pete Dunne won a fatal four-way against the LWO, Legado del Fantasma, and Pretty Deadly. Yes, boy. What do you think?
I picked Bate and Dunne to win prior, you know, just sitting at home, you know, with a couple people watching. So I think the right team won, and it was a real solid, you know, tag team match. I think it was nice to see that it was almost similar to the WrestleMania Showcase tag team match. So, yes. Four teams, younger teams, newer to the main roster. So a real solid chance for them to jump out and, you know, see what they're made of. And I thought all four teams had a real solid showing. So I think Judgment Day versus Bate and Dunne should be a very entertaining match. Wish it could have somehow.
But it's not going to be, because I think you missed this key detail. There's a second fatal four-way taking place on Raw, which will then determine competitors against Dunne and Bate.
Miss that.
Will then... They'll wrestle on SmackDown next week to decide who's the number one contender.
Thank you for
all right. We're gonna get a cross collaboration, of course. Yes. So there's gonna be a fatal four way tag team match on Raw this coming week, more than likely to set up that match, and that match will set up Judgment Day at the Elimination Chamber. So as of right now, one formal match announced with the Judgment Day defending the tag titles against fill in the blank and potentially Rhea and Nia. Now, We know the Final Testament and the Almighty Prophets or the Pride have some beef. There's a lot of beef there. We got the first variation of that tonight on SmackDown Friday night. And I'll be honest with you, had a feeling as soon as the match was made that it was going to end in a no contest. And that's what we got. But B-Fab joined up with Bobby Lashley and the Street Profits, which I'm a fan of. I like that. And I wouldn't be shocked to see the entire group of Final Testament, AOP, Karrion Kross, Scarlett, take on Bobby, the Profits, and B-Fab at maybe Elimination Chamber or in a couple weeks on SmackDown. So do you like the Final Testament? Or are you on the other side of it? Because I like it. You know me. I like Kross. I like the spooky. I like the intense.
I've been trying to sell myself on Kross now for a little while, and maybe
we loved
I think
his NXT. Love NXT Kross.
And I'm thinking kind of similar to the Almighty Prophets, where it's they may be better off kind of doing their own thing. For me, it's just both of these. I do like that all of these stars are getting shine because they're all very solid. It's nice to have B-Fab getting in the mix, especially after Top Dollar was let go. They kind of her. She stopped doing stuff on TV. So it was nice to get her back in the fold. So, but yeah, it feels like this, I don't know if it really fell flat. I think I need to see a little bit more from this rivalry and from the two groups before I can kind of make a true distinction on if they're, going to be serious to, in terms of being players on SmackDown or not. So I think hopefully once we have a real match between them and they get a little bit of extended time to kind of work and get a little more chemistry, we should see a little bit, of a more solid feud.
I'm hoping
but for
so.
Me,
I mean, my hopes, I said this a few times on the show and I said it on Mike's show, Drop the Mic. I said, literally, my hopes for this group, the Final Testament, are higher than Matt Riddle and RVD combined. Like, that is how high my hopes are for this faction. And I really want it to deliver, but I agree. I'm going to let it sweat out a little bit, much like we have to let a lot of things sweat out right now on the road to WrestleMania, except one person. And oh boy, is she awesome. She is cemented her road to WrestleMania. Bayley has been exodiaced, excommunicated from Damage Control. She just wanted them to be great, Jordan, but they didn't want her to be great. Hey, Bayley dropped a little Japanese for us, which had Kairi Sane, Asuka,
had all
Io
them
Sky,
stars.
Had them, as the kids would say, gagged. They didn't know what to say. I got you with that one. I knew I'd hit you with that one. I saw that earlier. Somebody used that. And I was like, I'm gonna hit them with that. As the kids would
say.
That
was a good one. That was a good one.
I try. So absolutely love Bayley naturally becoming a good person again, a face. Love Io and Bayley happening at WrestleMania. I think it's gonna be probably one of the best matches on WrestleMania, night one or night two, that you could have. I'm excited for this. If there's one positive to take away from SmackDown Friday, it's that Bayley will probably get to finish her story.
Before Cody Rhodes, ironically, just like
everybody
else gets to.
Stories,
oh, yeah. No, I truthfully think this is probably the best thing SmackDown did Friday. Yeah. The way they sold it, and like you said, Bayley, learning Japanese and then using it against the group. I know what you guys are saying about me. And at the end of the day, she didn't want to. It was more so the influence of Asuka and Kairi Sane that, kind of brought them to this point because they were part of the original, Damage Control that returned to SummerSlam a few years back. Yeah. So, I think it's going to be a banger of a match. Io Sky's one of my favorites. By WrestleMania, I think the crowd will be in the palm of Bayley's hand. So, could be one of the matches of the weekend, and it's well-deserved and it's well-earned by both women. So I think this was, the right choice, the right call. So it's nice to see Triple H get this one right.
Yeah, 100%. This is the right call. This is the right move. Triple H, good work here on this one. Triple H, not such a great work on the other stuff you did on SmackDown at the end there. To be honest with you, I don't really think Triple H had too much to say. All I know is that hashtag #WeWantCody is the number one trend in the U.S. this weekend. What a crazy time we are in wrestling. I want to thank Jordan so much for coming on the emergency / weekly recap show. These are going to be recycled clips, so be on the lookout. But thank you so much, Jordan, for chatting with me, even though we had nothing planned I made you wait and miss some UFC action. So thank you so much, my brother.
This was fun. I enjoyed it. It was nice to test the new setup. It's nice to not be behind the in a parking lot anymore. You know, real setting. So no, this is nice to be in a real setting. So hopefully we'll do this more going forward. This has been fun. I enjoyed the hell out of it. So
no more dark alley podcast for Jordan. Jordan's official now.
We've come to the light.
He's a part of the team. He's on the Mouthing Off with Mike team. Be on the lookout for Jordan's podcast debut coming spring of 2024, right?
Soon enough. You never know.
You never know. That's what they say, baby. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in and listening. We're out of here.
Take care, brother.
Look, like I said, show is completely out of order this week. We have a lot to process. I appreciate Jordan for joining me on the show. You know, I'm gonna shift focus here into Monday Night Raw. Monday Night Raw was good this week. I enjoyed it. There wasn't a lot of too much in-ring action per se, but from what we did get, it was a fun show. I have to say. The saddest part of Monday Night Raw is knowing now that going into WrestleMania, we no longer have CM Punk. CM Punk opened Raw, letting the WWE Universe, the fans at home, know that he has torn his tricep and he will be out past WrestleMania. So more than likely, we will see CM Punk return, probably Backlash, maybe Bash at the Berlin late. SummerSlam, early August. So definitely makes things complicated for WrestleMania, as we're seeing with SmackDown. As you heard Jordan and myself say, The Rock is now going to WrestleMania. We'll know more this coming Thursday with the WrestleMania kickoff press conference in Vegas. You know, we've got the Super Bowl next weekend in Vegas. So not a shock that WWE is capitalizing on the media and the attention of the Super Bowl, and when it comes to WrestleMania, since that is their Super Bowl, guys, I'm just still in awe about the whole SmackDown thing with Roman Reigns, with Cody Rhodes walking away. Drew McIntyre is firing on levels that I can't even explain, and it seems like he's not going to get himself a title match at WrestleMania, especially now that the winner of the Men's Rumble, Cody, is probably going for Seth after all. So where does that leave Drew in this? Because Drew destroyed Punk after his announcement. So much so to the point that Drew said that he prayed for this injury on Punk. Now, Drew, right now, crowning him, so you don't have to worry. You can go back in at the end of 2024 when we do the 2025 or the awards for this year, next year. Drew McIntyre, Player Hater of the Year 2024, it has been decided. That man is on a new level. And it is a shame that now the potential, because of The Rock and Roman, that Drew doesn't get that match with Seth. Unless it becomes a multi-person match, unless there's things in the cards at Elimination Chamber, because that's what we're talking about in the final mouth-off. Talking about Elimination Chamber and the fact that we don't have a clear set idea of what that chamber and those chamber matches look like. As for the rest of Monday Night Raw, we had some ladies in action. We had Chelsea Green and Piper. They lost to Shayna and Zoe, rebuilding the tag division for the women, so I'm not upset about it. DIY had a hell of a tag team match against the Judgment Day. They did not win the titles, but man, what a showing. The first hour of Raw this past Monday was commercial free, so we did get a lot of action in that first hour, mainly, you know, with the Judgment Day. R-Truth is pretty much not in the Judgment Day anymore. He got destroyed by the Judgment Day, JD McDonagh. JD McDonagh made it look personal. Personal. Cody Rhodes. Seth Rollins. This is where it all starts. Seth comes out, interrupts Cody on Raw, says, "Do you want to go for the Hollywood title," in reference to Roman, "or do you want to go for the working class title? The title that Dusty would want to hold. The title that guys like Hulk Hogan held, you know. Do you want to be the Hollywood guy? Do you want to be the working man's champion? Do you want to be that Dusty Rhodes champion?" And you know that's going to play with Cody's heartstrings. But that didn't stop Cody from going to SmackDown to confront Roman Reigns and then telling everybody that that's the title he wants, the one Roman's got, but then stepping aside and letting The Rock have that match. So, yeah, you could tell I'm not too keen on this. I'm going to let it play out. But, yeah, I don't know how to feel about anything. Now it seems that Cody and Seth is going to happen. They teased it. They had the great video that they showed this week of the history and everything going on. I don't know what to think anymore. Like I said, oh, the road to WrestleMania is going to be unpredictable this year. And then you have Seth saying, well, I think you should fight me instead. And then you have Cody walking away and walking down from Roman and The Rock. So it's like, what are we doing here, ladies and gentlemen? We had Yeet versus Meat, Jey Uso, Bronson Reed. Jey Uso got the win. Andrade's now on Monday Night Raw. Gunther and Kofi had a match for the Intercontinental Championship, which was pretty solid. Gunther retained, of course. Natty and Tegan versus Asuka and Kairi Sane was a match that happened. Kairi Sane and Asuka won, of course. Bayley and Damage Control on Raw. They're going to announce maybe who Bayley's challenging. You know, we're doing that tease. And Nia Jax interrupts Rhea, who interrupted Bayley, and Nia attacks Rhea. So, more than likely, your first match for the Elimination Chamber is going to be Nia Jax versus Rhea Ripley for the Women's World Championship from Australia, Rhea's hometown. So, obviously, Rhea's going to win, defend the title more than likely against Becky at WrestleMania. We'll talk about the Chamber match for the women more than likely, but interesting developments taking place on Raw. Cody Rhodes had Samantha Irvin do his introduction twice as well, which I thought was very, very fun. Samantha Irvin also nailing those introductions, I have to say. She's probably the best ring announcer. I will give credit where credit is due. Mike Rome, he's pretty solid himself. Main event, Monday Night Raw, Sami Zayn, the man who saved CM Punk from the attack of Drew McIntyre. Solid match here. A lot of chaos here. Drew McIntyre gets a win here. I thought the world title picture was clear and cut. CM Punk's out. Drew McIntyre. Seth Rollins. SmackDown. All bets are off. WrestleMania season. Insane. Monday Night Raw. Good show from a story advancement standpoint. From an in-ring standpoint, I'd say DIY Judgment Day. Great match. Kofi and Gunther was a good match as well. Really good for the IC title. Outside of that, wasn't too much in-ring action. A lot of advancing things. A lot of Royal Rumble backlash. But yeah, realistically, I do not know what the hell is going to happen at WrestleMania. But they have my attention. And that's clear and cut. It's Wednesday. You know what that means. We got to talk AEW Dynamite. And honestly, pretty solid Dynamite, but I will say next week's episode of Dynamite looks insane. You got Sting and Darby taking on Ricky Starks and Big Bill for the tag titles in a tornado tag match. You got Hangman and Swerve, number 3. We've got the BCC versus the Luchadors from CMLL. Next week's Dynamite is jam-packed, and the best news is your boy, your host here, gets to be live to see the action. So I am amped the hell up. But before we get to next week's Dynamite, we got to talk this week's Dynamite. We kicked off Dynamite with Mox taking on Jeff Hardy. Good match, man. Look, a lot of people talking a lot of different words about the Hardys and their wash and they need to hang it up and this and that and I say it all the time. Look, you know, when we got these legends while we have them and if they can still go, then let's utilize them. You know, let's see what they got left in the tank. If they want to be here, they want to, you know, contribute to the business in this era, in this generation and help the stars of tomorrow or the current stars. I'm cool with it. This was a solid match. Hardy looked great. I love that we're slowly but surely turning Jeff and Matt possibly heel, especially Jeff. Because Jeff shows lack of respect to Mox after the match. Again, similar to what he did to Darby. Good stuff here. Really liked it. After the match, Mox got beat down by the CMLL Luchadors because he got thrown in their laps. And he started punching and throwing haymakers. And they didn't like that. That is what in turn sets up the BCC and the Luchadors for Dynamite next week. Also ended up setting up Bryan Danielson versus Hechicero, which was crazy on Collision. I'll talk about it in a little bit. But yeah, good stuff here for Mox and Hardy. Love that we're doing a little bit of a kind of like a, you know, an invasion sort of angle with CMLL and AEW. I like it. It's fun stuff. Tonight on Dynamite, we have two matches. Hangman's picking Swerve's opponent. Swerve's picking Hangman's opponent. Swerve picked Toa Leona from the Mogul Embassy to take on Hangman. Good match here. Swerve, great pick on his end. Toa Leona gets to shine here as a single star against Hangman. Hangman gets a big win here when it comes to advancing and the storylines of AEW with the World Championship and Samoa Joe. We've got Revolution in a month. Things are heating up nicely. The rankings are back here in AEW as well. So at the end of Dynamite this past week, we had the rankings release. So now we know who are the number one contenders for each title, what the title pictures look like, and who's at the top of the rankings. And I'll throw that up here so you guys can take a look at it. But I liked it. Now, we didn't know who Swerve's opponent was going to be, but Hangman hinted at it, and he was going to have to wait the whole effing show to find out. And we found out later on that it was Rob Van Dam. And my man Rob Van Dam can still go. He looked fantastic in this match. I can't even deny the fact that even at this age in the game, RVD has still got it, man. Like, he's got it. Great match in the main event of Dynamite. The rest of the card, you had Wardlow beat Commander. Wardlow looked like he tweaked his leg, but it seems like he's okay. He went on social media and addressed it. Jericho beat Fletcher, which is basically setting up Takeshita versus Jericho next week on Dynamite. Another solid match for that Phoenix Dynamite. Very excited about it. We also had Deonna Purrazzo versus Taya Valkyrie. Good match here. Deonna gets a win. We're advancing towards Tony and Deonna at Revolution, which was formally made by Tony Khan late this week. So I'm excited for Revolution. Looks like a great card. We're going to have the send-off for Sting, possibly as a tag team champion, possibly against the Young Bucks. So I'm not mad about that at all. Dynamite, good show from AEW. But like I said, next week's show, even better, stacked, possibly a contender so far in early 2024 for a Dynamite of the Year if it delivers properly. And I'm sure it will. But yeah. Dynamite's cooking. Like they say, Saturday night's all right for fighting. AEW Collision. Fantastic. It's like the show I can turn to in times where I need really good wrestling and I need it fast. It's kind of like when you go out and you have food and you try a new place. And you're like, oh, that was a bad idea. And you're like, I should have just went to my comfort spot. That's how Collision feels for me. After everything that happened with The Rock and Cody Rhodes and everything and wrestling and all the scandals and everything going on in the world of wrestling, I can turn on Saturday Night Collision and I can get 2 hours of some of the best damn pro wrestling on television. And that's what we got this week. Eddie Kingston kicked off the show against the Bounty Hunter, Brian Keith. Fantastic hard-hitting brawl is what I would call it. Now, if Brian Keith won this match, he would get an opportunity at the Triple Crown Championship. Unfortunately, he was not victorious. Eddie Kingston got the win. Like I said, great match. Go check it out if you didn't see Collision this week. After the match and shortly thereafter on Twitter, Tony Khan announced that Brian Keith is finally All Elite, ladies and gentlemen. Honestly, this has been a long time coming. He has been a shining star when he was in Ring of Honor. He's a fantastic professional wrestler, and it's so awesome to see him get this opportunity to shine for a major company, to be on TV weekly. I'm so excited for this. I literally tweeted, I was like, is Brian Keith not All Elite? Can we make that happen, Tony? And within seconds, Tony Khan tweeted the graphic that Brian Keith is All Elite. Awesome stuff here. I can't wait to see what Brian Keith can accomplish here. In AEW, Hechicero from CMLL took on Bryan Danielson in what I can only describe as a technical masterclass of professional wrestling. Bryan Danielson really looked fantastic in this match, but I got to give the edge to Hechicero. Hechicero, I'm not familiar with the guy. And shout out to the Lucha blog on Twitter because they gave us kind of Hechicero 101 for dummies or for people who aren't familiar with him. Me, I'm that person in this case, and I got to read the thread and really gave me a little bit more substance into who Hechicero is. He seems like a very underrated luchador for CMLL that maybe they just don't feel you know, fits this current version that they have is what I, you know, read according to this thread in the Lucha blog. But man, he had a cool ass entrance. My man came out with some flaming rocks. He's holding them. He's doing spells and casting away the bad juju, according to Shivani on commentary, or I should say, Kevin Kelly. Oof, a lot of Kevins in commentary. Yeah, Kevin Kelly. But super cool. Brian Danielson gets the quick roll-up win. And then the CML Luchadors come on out. They're going to attack Brian, but Claudio comes out. Once again, hyping up that match for Dynamite next week with BCC and CMLL. I think it's going to be a fantastic match. I'm excited. No doubt in my mind, BCC's probably heading down to Mexico and probably will invade a CMLL show. I'm sure there's one on the docket in the next couple weeks, especially if they're coming to Arizona. Mexico's kind of right there, so it might make sense if there is a show coming up down the pipeline that they might be there very soon. Collision, like I said, it was my, truthfully, SmackDown, I was going to say, was the best wrestling show of the week this week, but I think Collision might have taken the cake here. Not only did you get that fantastic match with Danielson and Hechicero, you got Hook versus the Outrunners 2-on-1 handicap match. The post-Hook world after losing to Samoa Joe is still bright for Hook fans and for Hook stock. You know, he gets this big win against two competitors, and he still seems like a viable threat. I would like to see him go for the TNT Championship or the International Championship potentially down the line. We know Roddy Strong's next in line, but things can always change. Mark Briscoe had a fantastic promo. Serena Deeb and Queen Aminata, great match. Serena Deeb being back is so awesome for the women's division for AEW. Like, let's talk about it. The AEW women's division is crazy stacked right now. Mariah May, Deonna Purrazzo, Toni Storm, Saraya, Ruby, Queen Aminata, Willow, Chris, Julia Hart, Sky Blue, Red Velvet. I lost fingers. I lost count of on my hand. I have no hands. I'm starting to count on my toes. Women's division AEW. So much to look forward to right now. If they do it right, Tony, I implore you, please. Women's division felt like an afterthought for a long time. Over the last couple weeks since 2024, you've really overhauled it. You've really put a key focus on it. And I really hope we can continue that momentum throughout 2024. I really like what we're doing here. Collision is the show where you get two women's matches. We also had Red Velvet take on Vert Vixen in a match. Solid match. Another one. This was quick. The Patriarchy and FTR Garcia. Never thought that I'd see Daniel Garcia doing his dances with FTR. But to be honest, FTR kind of taking Daniel Garcia under their wing is needed, I feel. Daniel Garcia is one moment away from a breakout in AEW. And I think if we put him with FTR, we have a nice little slow build, you know, with them as a trio. Maybe we get them into a trios tag team match. Wouldn't be too upset about it. You know, right now with the rankings, if you saw earlier, I'll pop them up again. We know that Bullet Club Gold are the top ranked team for the trios championship. Same titles that the Acclaimed hold, and they're just formed the super faction. So Revolution to me screams that we are combining those titles, ladies and gentlemen. The Ring of Honor 6-man tag championships and the AEW Trios championship will probably be combined. Unified. That's the word I was looking for. Good Lord, I couldn't find it. They'll be unified. So, wouldn't be too upset about an FTR, Daniel Garcia, a little run here if things change there. I liked Collision this week. Like I said, it was like the show. It was like a hot bowl of soup on a cold winter day. And it just hit. I enjoyed it thoroughly. Don't go anywhere. We got the final mouth off. We're going to talk Elimination Chamber, baby. What kind of matches will we see? I'm going to speculate away. You know I like to do that. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the final mouth off with Mike. With me, ladies and gentlemen. We got a lot to talk about. We talked about a lot today in this episode. Thanks for Jordan for joining me. We got a lot to talk about. We broke down some stuff when it comes to Rock, Roman, Cody. We broke down a little bit of some SmackDown action. Also forgot to mention that Pat McAfee is joining Michael Cole on the Raw announce team. I love it. For the brand, baby. Corey Graves and Wade Barrett are going to be your commentary team for SmackDown. Love it. Corey Graves, lead commentator, first time in his career. He did fantastic Friday night with Wade Barrett. I think those two are going to be really good. Some unfortunate news. We're unfortunately not going to get to hear Booker T on commentary for NXT Vengeance Day. He's got a procedure he's gonna be tending to. So thoughts and prayers and a speedy recovery to Booker T, the five-time champ. Love Booker T on commentary, especially for Trick Williams' entrance. He adds those ad-libs, and it really adds to it. As for Elimination Chamber and what I want to talk about here, so we are about, what, three? Let me look at the calendar over here. Yeah, we're about 2 weeks away, 3 weeks away from Elimination Chamber. Not a lot has been laid out. We've done more for WrestleMania and kind of laying out some matches and hinting at some things than we've done possibly for Elimination Chamber. Now, we know that as of the moment, Nia and Rhea is almost guaranteed to take place at Elimination Chamber. It's Australia. Nia attacked Rhea on Monday. We talked about that. As for the rest of the card, that's left on the kind of the open right now. We know Judgment Day is defending the tag titles against, we don't know yet, whoever wins the Fatal 4-Way Raw, they'll verse Tyler Bate and Pete Dunne. Whoever wins that match, those are your number one contenders for the Judgment Day at Chamber. So right now you got two matches. Logan Paul is slated to be on WWE television all throughout the build to Elimination Chamber, which leads me to believe he will be defending that title. Now, Nick Aldis is going to announce who his next challenger is on SmackDown next week. The way Logan Paul's been going around and acting and being obnoxious and the ego and the he's better than everyone and he even interrupts Bianca and Bianca is like, none of that. Puts him in his place. You're not going to do that to the EST of WWE. Absolutely not. I have a funny feeling Nick Aldis is going to flip the script on Logan. And it's going to be not just one challenger, but five. And he's going to defend the U.S. title in the Elimination Chamber. And why do I believe this? Well, folks, because of what took place on SmackDown with The Rock and Roman and Cody. Cody still has the main event for WrestleMania. He won the Rumble, so he's still entitled to a title match at Mania. The only other title, which is what they've buried completely, I'm not going to open the can of worms again. Take a breath. The only title left after they've completely buried it, its champion and its lineage already, is Seth's World Heavyweight Championship. Here's the kicker. I'm wearing the Judgment Day shirt right here. You see this name right here? Damian? More than likely, Damian's cashing in at Mania if it's Cody and Seth. So nobody's walking out of there with titles. Cody's not walking out of there. Seth's obviously, we know he's hurt, so he's taking time off after Mania probably. So that ain't happening. Cody's not winning the belt more than likely. So what is the chamber match then? The U.S. title. What's the other chamber match? Well, we know EO and Bayley's on a crash course to WrestleMania. The Women's World Heavyweight Championship needs a contender. So I wouldn't be shocked if the Elimination Chamber is the Raw women in the chamber. You got the SmackDown superstars in a chamber. You got the Raw superstars in a chamber. That's what I would say. You probably do Judgment Day versus maybe Tyler Bate and Pete Dunne. I don't know what the teams are going to be on Raw. Maybe DIY, Creed Brothers, Indusheer, maybe Alpha Academy. Maybe it's Alpha Academy Judgment Day. But as of the moment, you got the Judgment Day. Nia Rhea more than likely coming down the pipeline. Two chamber matches, maybe. And then maybe one more match. We know that the chamber matches are pretty long. They're like usually 30, 40 minutes. Same kind of deal with the Rumble. Those are usually like an hour 10, hour 20. So I don't think we're going to see five or six matches on the card. We'll see as the next couple weeks go. But yeah, Elimination Chamber has my attention. We're going to find out what's going on this week on Raw with everything in the title pictures and will things get clear. We also have the WrestleMania kickoff press conference Thursday in Vegas on the heels of the Super Bowl that Sunday. So a lot of media is going to be in the area. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of questions and I'm sure we're going to get some answers. And I'm sure they're going to probably ask a lot of questions about the current, you know, Vince lawsuit. So we'll probably get to learn a little bit more information about what WWE plans to do proceeding with that. And, you know, what actions that they're taking to rectify the situation and make sure that the company is safe behind, you know, behind the scenes. I'm excited for WrestleMania. I'm excited for Elimination Chamber. Let's see what happens this week. I'm going to let it all play out. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. Make sure you go out there and enjoy some pro wrestling. I'm out of here, man. Now they're off with Mike. Now they're off with Mike. Now they're off with Mike.